Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. April 5, 2021. My thoughts on Twitter April 5, 2021. Spiritual progress happens through our mutual inclusion in one another. The smaller the distance between us, the closer we are to the Creator. We will start to feel that this is the same distance. And then we will see that by separating us, the Pharaoh works for our own good. From Twitter, April 5, 2021. New Life 1302. The Art of Connection Between People.
שלום לכם, תודה שאתם מצטרפים אלינו, אנחנו כאן עם חיים חדשים.
Hello and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Leitman. Hello, Dr. Leitman.
שלום לכם.
שלום, שלום.
We can hear you. Hello, hello. Hello, Nitzamazoz. Hello. And today we'd like to talk to Dr. Leitman about connecting communication. Many times we talk to people, people talk to us. We create some kind of connection, but we don't always connect with those people. So we'd like to understand what is connecting communication on our way to a better life. Nitza, please. Communication between people is something very interesting that includes many elements. On previous shows, we focused on listening, and we also understood what sometimes makes it hard for us to listen to other people. And today we'd like to better understand this broader concept called connecting communication, because people pass information, emotion, needs to each other. There's a kind of transition of different things between us, but between transmitting information or emotion and creating connection, there's a big distance or difference. And today we'd like to better understand how does real communication start gradually building connection between people and even systematically making it bigger and stronger. So, in the simplest way, how would you define connecting communication between people? We have to completely, first of all, abstain ourselves from the concept of communication as we know them. Communication, media, all these things, because the communication between us is egoistic, that each wants to benefit off the other. I come up to the other person to begin with as a thief, as a dominator, in order to get everything possible out of that person, and if necessary, to humiliate that person and make out of him something that he'll really be a zero under my feet, no problem. This is actually the nature of each and every person. Egoistic nature, to dominate others, to exploit others, and win in everything. And therefore, it's not called communication. Communication means to connect to the measure to which we would like to connect with each other, to the measure to which we'll be able to connect with each other. Therefore, communication isn't based on my ego and your ego, by which we only reject each other and try to use each other, each to his own benefit. But communication has to be built on our real desire to connect, to integrate, to complete the other person. And then when I'm willing to accept the other person into myself as he is, and he is willing to accept me as I am, from that we build a common realm between us. to the measure to which I enter that person, that is my realm in him, and to the measure to which he permeates me, that's his realm in me. And out of these two realms, I in him and he in me, out of these two, we build a mechanism called our communication. And we can even measure the extent to which we have built this communication, the measure to which we can extend it, expand it, and so on. Meaning, to learn about communication means to learn how to rise above the ego and accept the other into myself as they are. I have to make room. I have to free room for that of my ego. I have to feel how that person is in and of himself, without how I see him, feel him, but how he in and of himself is. So, if I really want to become integrated of that other person, then I need my desire. I mean, I entirely consist of all desire, so I have to clean myself of something in order to perceive the other person as they are, and they too have to free themselves, restrict themselves of their ego in order to accept me as I am, perceive me as I am. And then we have communication. I don't think that what I'm talking about now, that a media person, people that work on communication have the slightest idea what we just explained here. Yeah, what you explained is very new. No course, no one. I never read or heard about something like you have described now. It's completely different than what we currently perceive about communication between people. That's why I'm saying that the word in Hebrew, communication and media, are the same word, but it doesn't suit it. Would you call it a different name? I'd call it the art of pirates. You mean contemporary communications? What's going on now? Egoistic communication. So it is the art of pirates. So we connect in order to see what can I get from you, what can I steal from you to my own benefit. This is how it really is, their intention from the start. So the current form of communication that we're familiar with, that what happens is that we connect, we communicate with the purpose of what can I get, take from the other person? How can it benefit me? But in such a way that if I can make a scoop out of it, which is usually to the detriment of the other person, to get something out of them, to reveal something about them, to cheat them somehow, to be something, to make it something special for the public. The public likes dirty yellow things, so then I'm an expert in communication. What communication? Then I'm a good pirate. I want to ask about being a pirate. You're talking, I'm listening. Nietzsche's talking, I'm listening. You talk, you listen to each other. The definition of every person being a kind of pirate, is it only when I pay attention to wanting to connect to you in order to use you in one way or another? Or does this pirate act inside of me even when I don't pay attention to him? This pirate acts in you even though that you do not operate him, activate him, but we're talking about experts in media people, experts in communications that go and interview. Obviously, I don't want to talk about them at all. Going back to me, this pirate acts in me even when I don't pay attention to him. Of course, who activates him? Your ego, mister. Your ego always positions you in such a way of how can I defeat, use, exploit, get out of being in contact, connection with someone. So this is a constant form of, this is how I constantly act, whether I pay attention or don't, whether I'm conscious of it or not, it's always there. Yes. Now, you have to clear something in this pirate in order for us to be able to establish some kind of communication. Each of us has to do this? Yes. How do I clean a bit from that pirate? Well, this is work that a person has to do on himself. He should join our course and he'll be taught about our nature, about the ego, how can we neutralize it, how can we restrict it, how can we even turn it into from negative to positive. So exactly, this is our topic today. How do we start building connecting communication? So I want to ask about the cleansing, about making room, clearing a bit of that pirate in order for us to create some kind of common territory or realm. So this is a kind of cleaning that I have to do before I connect to any other person. If you want to connect to the other person correctly, then yes, what do I tell myself? That you have to love the other person. And how is that related to cleaning? Then you clear the area of hate that to begin with, that from the start comes from one to the other. Hate is a hard word. I'm saying the truth. If you're starting to measure hate in terms of that he's taking you to court, or that he's preparing blows for you, or murder, or whatever, then for me hate is that I am not neutral, that I don't know the other person, or hate starts from where I want to come closer to the other person, that I have to know that coming closer to another person is only through rejection, hate, my ego that wants to gain off it, succeed, that I want to feel that I'm greater than the other person, that I'm controlling him, in control of him, otherwise I can't come closer to the other person. I can't see the other person but this way. How do I position myself in a situation where I'm in control, where I dominate, where I'm boss over the situation? The communication you've just described, this is really what happens naturally, automatically. And this is why it's not called communication. Understand? We're not saying about one army that goes against another army, that they're there in order to communicate with each other. It's really like two armies, of course, that are trying to see how can I conquer, take. That's how it is all the time between people. And this is what's important to understand, that even when I'm not aware of it, this is what happens. It's like even if you're walking on the street, not minding your own business, this is how you always look at others unconsciously. Okay, this I understand. Now, I want to connect to you, with you, with Nitza. How do I start clearing in order, cleansing, clearing in order to create this common territory between us? What does it start with? This is where the problem is. First of all, I have to understand my nature, that I'm like a pirate, for sure, that I can't look at the other person with a good eye, that for sure I always look at the other person and see negative things, and I look at the positive things only according to what I can rob. What I can rob from that person, how can I use him, defeat him, steal from him, in short, gain off him. Otherwise, I don't look. I don't have eyes. I don't have a sense through which I can look at the other person to their own benefit. There's no such thing. Only if, suppose,
עכשיו, אנשים, בוא נגיד ככה, אנשים
It's not my baby.
מנסים להיות בקשר, להתקרב אחד לשני.
People that try to come closer to each other. Suppose in more friendly relationships where people really want to connect with each other, and we see that really many times a person comes with the desire to come closer, but somehow what you get is rejection. Out of the desire, or by the desire to come closer, that doesn't change his nature yet. So, I have the desire to near another person. Why? Why? I think that by nature, we do want to feel as a part of society, because we gain from it. That's it. So, from this gain, I approach him. Because of the gain, once I see that I can no longer use the other person and there is nothing for me to gain, I become indifferent and I leave. I turn my back on him and that's that. But sometimes, really, even on the most basic level, a person doesn't want to feel on his own. He doesn't want to feel alone. He does want to make contact, connection, because I feel bad on my own.
True.
So, because I don't want to feel lonely or alone, I do want to create a connection. I want to come closer, but then I can't. Even if I want to come closer, build a relationship, good relationship, I don't necessarily know how to do it. And that's why I said that, yeah, teach a person that if he really wants to come closer to someone, in himself, he has to clear a space in which he can absorb, grasp the other person. Okay, how do I make room, clear an area? You know, in my cupboard, I know how to do this. Please, I'm making room for your things. But internally wise, in my desire, how do I make room inside myself in order to let someone else in? You don't know how to do it. I believe you. That's exactly what I want to learn how to do. How do I make room according to the importance that that person, to some extent or in something, becomes more important to you than yourself are? Meaning, making room is that in that space that I've cleared, even if it's small, where you love yourselves, you have to make room to love that other person. So in that place, he or she become more important to me than I myself. Even more important, yes.
So,
how are we supposed to then talk to each other in this case in order to start creating some common place? What is that, and how are we supposed to talk to each other to make it? Importance. This is what you have to have here. But this partner, my friend, or whoever, to me, to some extent, in a certain discernment, becomes more important to me than I myself am. And then I, in this discernment, think about him more than about myself. He is more important to me than I myself am. We can see it with children. But do you have an example that doesn't include children? No, who else do we have as an example? I don't know someone who's more important to me than I myself am, besides the children. Children, let's put them aside. So there isn't. So all of these kinds of connections between them, we can't define them as connecting communication, because I'm always the important one, and I want to benefit for myself. It sounds like this my nature. It is. If so, then to create connecting communication, I have to rise a bit above my nature. Yeah? What, one more thing, just a second, sorry. The making room, clearing to define the other as important. You said that at least in one single discernment that she will become to me more important than I myself am. How do I build something like that? Imagine that it's possible. Try, and you'll see that it's impossible to make the other more important than I myself am. Very rational. But you really have to know that this is how it is. Okay, after I try and I come to the conclusion that it's impossible, how do I advance from here? Know where to advance from? You walk into a wall. So there's no communication. None. So what do you do with the wall? Someone put this wall in front of you, between you. Turn to him. For him to cancel that wall. To whom? To nature, to the Creator, to the upper force. That this is how He created in each of us an egoistic desire so that we are incapable of giving ourselves up and accept the other as ourselves. So what is my part that can contribute to creating this connecting communication? Just to examine that we can't, and to ask the upper force, nature, to learn how to ask so that he will cancel the boundary between us. According to everything you taught us up until now, what is the initial thing that I should learn and teach other people on our course on communication skills about connecting communication? To find a connection to the upper force called nature. How to connect to him and how to ask him to cancel the borders of nature, the boundaries of nature. But how do you connect to nature? It's like I'm saying, okay, start understanding the way I'm built, how nature made me as a pirate, so to speak, as an egoist that thinks about himself all the time. Therefore, any connection with another person is through the glasses of what can I gain from that person. Here you're already starting to understand, getting to know yourself. These actions are called the actions of recognition of evil, where you start acknowledging that your evil isn't, that your nature is entirely evil. And this is why I can't connect to other people. Right. There's the wall that separates us. Okay. So you said that in order to connect to the other person, you have to turn to nature that will allow you to, for nature to cancel that wall, not break through it, cancel it. So how do I turn to the force of nature that made these walls between us? We what? We email him, we what? This is an entire teaching that we study in the wisdom of Kabbalah. So in what we're talking, in relation to what we're talking about, what can you teach us? If you want it, you have to learn. We're on this course. We want to learn. Give us some first exercise for breaking the wall between people. Practical exercise. What do you need to break this wall for? You. This wall gives you access, entrance into the other person. And unless you improve your qualities, you might hurt the other person. And he might hurt you. Therefore, this wall exists in order to make some kind of protective isolation between you. And if to cancel this wall, then, you know, people wouldn't just kill each other physically, but would really enter the other person and ruin their soul, really. So you're saying that nature built these walls between people on purpose in order to protect us from each other? Until you'll really want to cancel the distance between you. So the first thing to study on a connecting communication course is to learn Why would we want to connect all together? Only to the benefit of others. Is it a principle? It is, that I want to exist to the benefit of others, and then I ask the upper force to cancel to that extent, to cancel the wall between us, the partition between us, so that I will be able to help the other person to join him and do what he wants. I have no desire of my own, but the force with which I can help him. So this partition actually comes down only if my desire is, instead of to rob the other person, to give to the other person, only then. Correct? And this is the only thing that I can ask nature for. Nature that made this partition, that I want to act to the benefit of others. Why? Why? Because I want to be similar to the upper force. What is the upper force? The connection between us that exists at least to some extent that we are in this world. Wait, I didn't understand. I asked, why would you like to connect to the other person to their benefit and not your own? I understand that any kind of connection in general has to be to my own benefit, otherwise I have no interest to connect to the other person. You're saying that there is a higher connection where the wall will fly away, opposite connection. So I'm asking, why would you like to invert the kind of connection? Because otherwise I can't connect. Otherwise I can't connect. In order to connect to someone, I need to start feeling love toward that other person. Love meaning that whatever the other person wants, I'm willing to fulfill. Without any calculation for myself to get anything out of it in return. This is actually, it seems like nature, the force of nature, actually forces us to be experts in communication, but real connection, communication. This is called communication. So it forces us how to correctly learn to connect to others and from the desire to give them only. How would you define this super... How would you define to be a real expert in communication? That I know how to cancel my ego in order to connect to others and use all of my qualities in order to benefit others. What do I get out of all of this if I'll know all of this about how to connect to others? What you'll get out of it is that you'll be able to help others fulfill them. And you will feel that filling others fills you. Fulfills you. You don't understand me. What do you do with your children? This is what we started to talk about at the beginning of our talk. Why are you smiling now? When I can do something good for my children, why? They're my children. I love them. So ask for love toward others. And what will I feel if I love others? That you enjoy doing it to the other person. You understand that in front of you, there are 8 billion people in the world, and this is how you can relate to each of them, treat each of them, and fill them with plenty and abundance. And as a result, you're fulfilled with all the good joy, good feeling, infinite fulfillment, truly. So what is a connecting communication? How would you define it? Connecting communication means the art of fulfilling the other with what they need. Dr. Lightman, our time's up. It was really interesting. And we'll come back with more questions. First of all, try. We will. Thank you very much. All the best. Thanks for being with us. We'll try it together.
humanity in Egyptian slavery. Question: why must one first go to Egypt in order to get out of the egoistic state? Answer: in order to realize who you are, that you are absolutely the opposite of the Creator, that you are not a human being but an animal controlled only by egoism. This is only possible if you are in a state called Egypt. Question: can we say that all of humanity is still in Egypt? Answer: yes. Absolutely all of humanity is in the state of Mitzrayim, Egypt, when a person does not realize that he is controlled by egoism alone. Mitzrayim, Mitzra, in Hebrew means concentration of evil. Question: so, in order to reveal love, one must understand hatred. It turns out that the Egyptian exile is a guarantee that a person will someday acquire altruistic properties in the future? Answer: yes. All this has already been planned and should only take on its material appearance. From CAB TV's Spiritual States, March 26, 2021. The Guiding Light of Passover. It seems that the Torah writes about adventures and great journeys, from ancient Babylon to the land of Canaan where Israel is today, from there to the Sinai Desert, from the desert to Egypt and many years of living in it with all the events that took place there, and then fleeing from Egypt and crossing the Red Sea. All this we should gradually separate from geographical places and historical events and place it inside a person as something that happens within him. Each one should depict within oneself which qualities are called Egypt, the desert, Pharaoh, and Moses, all the details and characters of the story. This story should unfold inside a person and inside the relationships in the ten. It is even harder to imagine this in the ten because it is closer to spirituality. We should build this process inside us, in sensation, so that everyone can feel how all the names the Torah mentions that refer to inanimate nature, plants, animals, and people is reflected in his feelings, thoughts, internal processes, and connections with others. Gradually, a person begins to feel how the light of Passover works on him, that is, the light of transition from the corporeal state when he is in a group, studying but so far doing everything egotistically. He does not know what the intention for the sake of bestowal is because until he acquires a second nature, it is impossible to explain and depict it. Just as the story of Passover describes the despair from the hard work for Pharaoh, so a person despairs to emerge from under the control of his egoism and to do something out of love for his neighbor. He does not find such forces, inclinations, and desires within himself. Suddenly he feels that something is awakening in him, and he begins to understand that there really can be such a quality in a person called selfless bestowal. It is because there is a special illumination that influences him and passes a new quality onto him. This is the change we need to yearn for. Of course, it does not come just out of a person's effort but only due to the illumination from above. This is why all our work is a prayer, a request, that must be organized correctly in the ten regarding all the clarifications that we make when building our connection. The entire process of the exodus from Egypt happens within the ten, within the ten sephirot. Therefore, it becomes more and more obvious that everything is achieved through the force of the prayer, and we must direct all our efforts only to this, to pray together so that everyone feels his friend and is ready to help him. Then we connect in our appeal to the upper force, we ask for the force of connection to help us, find a mutual point between us, so that everyone feels that they are coming out of themselves and becoming included in the common desire called the upper Malkhut. If each one is only inside himself, he is in the lower world. If he rises to the common desire, he already finds himself in the Malkhut of the upper world. He thus enters the second phase of Passover, that is, the transition, taking a step toward the exodus from Egypt. He already wants not Pharaoh but the Creator to dominate over him so that the Creator rules within him. Therefore, he will have a special transition in order to change the upper authority from Pharaoh to the upper force. One becomes more and more aware of how dependent and attached he is to his egoism, consciously or unconsciously constantly acting for one's own benefit. Now he is beginning to think more and more about how he can act for the benefit of the Creator and for the benefit of the Ten. This is already close to the Exodus from Egypt and means that the lights of Passover are working on a person. From the Daily Kabbalah Lesson March 31, 2021, Pesach, Passover. Cry out together. If I cry out to the Creator alone, my cry will inevitably be egoistic and will remain unanswered. However, if I cry out from the group, then certainly the desires of others will be added there, and to this extent the request will be heard. Therefore, there is no point in turning to the Creator alone, because in this way a person does not build but destroys himself. It is obvious that we need to turn to the Creator together and ask Him to actualize our connection. From this connection, we can turn to Him with even greater strength and ask for force for mutual bestowal to each other, and from us, to the Creator. We exit Egypt, which is between us, we cross the final sea, Yam Suf, between us, we move through the desert between us, we received the Torah, which will be between us. Thus, we advance until we all are connected in mutual bestowal, and in the light of this bestowal we begin to see a new world, not like our present one, but billions of times larger, infinitely vast. In addition, it is eternal and perfect, a world where we feel and understand everything and never feel tired, we move forward without any difficulties and obstacles. All this depends only on the connection between us. Passover, the Exodus from Egypt, Pharaoh, Nassan jumping into the sea, all this takes place inside the ten. Each state begins with separation between the friends and ends with a complete connection in the ten within which, to the extent of our unity, we reveal the upper force, the Creator. When they speak about great events, about the parting of the Red Sea, life and death, about harsh wars, all this exists only inside the ten. There is nothing but one spiritual part Suf of the ten Sefirot that goes through all these states. From the Daily Kabbalah Lesson March 30, 2021, Pesach, Passover. The unfortunate cities, Pithom and Ramses. Question: the Pharaoh forces all those who strive to reveal the quality of bestowal or the Creator, called Israel, to build the cities of Pithom and Ramses. What are these two cities? What are they in reference to the inner work of a person? Answer: building means filling the great desire called Pharaoh with egoism in both the right and left lines, in everything. But when we feel it, we see that this pleasure does not lead to any result except sheer disappointment. Question: your teacher gives this explanation, Ramses is Ramsus, horsepower, which symbolizes the work of man in order to fill his egoism. But then he suddenly feels himself at the edge of an abyss. Pithom is Pita, mouth of the abyss. It turns out that you are left, as in Pushkin's fairy tale, in a broken gutter. Answer: sure. Question: there is also an explanation that these two cities are called Aramizkenot, dangerous cities in Hebrew. Why are they dangerous? Answer: because of the fact that a person might never get out of his egoistic nature, rise above it, but will remain in these cities, getting deeper and deeper into them and dying. Question: but won't the evolutionary process oblige us to develop? Is there still a threat to stay in Egypt forever? Answer: in general, there is essentially no such possibility, because the Creator's program is perfect and ultimately leads us to understand the need to leave Egypt. But, on the other hand, it is still a dangerous condition where a person can stay in it for a very long time, almost all his life. However, he still feels a state of hopelessness. All the sensations described in the Torah are bound to appear in everyone. After all, in principle, many of us are already beginning to see that they just must escape from these states. From Cab TV's Spiritual States March 26, 2021. What do we celebrate on Pesach, Passover? Question: Who are Egyptians and Israelites in spiritual work? Answer: The Torah speaks of man as an object that includes the whole world. Everything is inside a person. The Egyptians in us are egoistic forces. The Israelites are altruistic forces, or forces that want to be altruistic but are ruled by the Egyptians, egoism. Pharaoh personifies the complete egoism in which we find ourselves. The Creator is the upper force that governs Pharaoh, Moses, and everyone else. His task is to bring all creation to be like him, to altruism. But this requires awareness of egoism being evil and the way out of it. Moses is a force that is a part of the Creator, which is inside man and pulls him forward, toward the disclosure and understanding of the highest spiritual properties. Interactions occur between these forces when a person feels which of his desires are egoistic, which are altruistic, which of them seek connection with the Creator, and which of them cling to the Pharaoh. Thus, he sorts them out, and as a result of his work, he understands which voice speaks to him. He realizes that he is completely under the rule of the Pharaoh. Wherever he turns, the Pharaoh is lurking in him. It seems to him that he is already working for the sake of bestowal and love of neighbors, that he is above all earthly egoistic desires, but he still continues to constantly reveal them inside. In the end, he does not just despair but becomes convinced that the Pharaoh owns everything, 100%. But at the same time, a special point, called Moses, stands out in him and it opposes Pharaoh. It enters into a fight with him and dooms itself to the 10 Egyptian plagues, which our egoism must go through. So, man begins to understand that he can get rid of the ego. But how? It is not clear yet. With this sensation, he enters a dark night where, on one hand, it is not obvious and not clear how the deliverance will take place, but on the other hand, he passionately desires it. This night is called the night of the Exodus from Egypt, which we celebrate on Passover. From CabTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, April 13, 2016. Why don't we feel Egypt as slavery? Question: It is interesting that a person does not immediately become a slave in Egypt. According to the Tanakh, Pharaoh, through Joseph, invited the sons of Jacob and gave them the land of Goshen. What does it mean that a person does not immediately feel Egypt as slavery in the spiritual work? Answer: Naturally. There is even a semi-anecdote that once people marched with slogans "Long live the slave-owning society" because it was progressive in comparison to the previous one. After the slave-owning formation, other ones appeared, and each time people rushed to fulfill their growing egoism more and more. Thus, it turns out that they constantly find themselves in a new social environment, which they themselves create. From CabTV's Spiritual States, March 26, 2021. Michael Leitman, on Quora: Do you think crossing the Red Sea by Moses really happened? According to the wisdom of Kabbalah, the crossing of the Red Sea describes an inner spiritual state of leaving one's egoistic desires behind, and entering into spiritual desires for love, bestowal and connection. It is essentially the crossing from this world to the spiritual world, and it is a process that unfolds in any person who applies themselves to the method of spiritual ascent. When we exit the egoistic boundaries of this world, that is, the desire to enjoy for self-benefit alone, we have to leave it once and for all. The boundary we cross in such a transition is described as crossing the Red Sea. The process of exiting the ego requires powerful egoistic resistance, which is expressed as a desire to return to Egypt, that is, living under the control of our self-aimed demands, in order to be slaves of the ego as before. The nation, which are desires that want to exit Egypt, still have no idea how to progress in order to become more altruistic, giving and loving. These states play out inside each and every person and in a group of people as they try to rise above their ego in order to connect with each other. The parting of the Red Sea takes place by a process that Kabbalists call faith above reason, symbolized by Moses' rod. In general, faith above reason means the elevation of the importance of progressing on the spiritual path, a path of love, bestowal and positive connection, over the importance of remaining servants to our egoistic and materialistic desires. By default, the importance of spirituality is lower than the importance we naturally hold for egoistic pursuits, and thus raising the importance of spirituality requires a supportive environment of like-minded people aiming for spiritual attainment. The Red Sea parts for those in the state of faith above reason. Crossing the Red Sea means that we shift from the corporeal transient world that is under the control of egoistic desires, into the eternal spiritual world that runs by an opposite altruistic operating system. Pharaoh's armies represent the inner state called below reason. Their drowning represents the ego that is left behind as we shift into spirituality. This action is symbolized by Nassan's jump into the sea. Why does Nassan jump into the sea first instead of Moses? It is because Moses is already beyond that state, in the quality of being. In other words, the spiritual qualities of love, bestowal and connection already govern Moses. His connection to these spiritual qualities leads the nation, that is, desires aimed at exiting the ego and entering into a spiritual connection, gradually releasing them from the ego, and leading them to spiritual connection. The desires that have no desire to advance by way of faith above reason, but which want to remain in the ego, are put to death by the condition of faith above reason. This means that they cannot cross the Red Sea into spiritual attainment, as they cannot obtain the quality of love and bestowal above their ego. The egoistic desires die at sea, causing a split between egoistic and altruistic desires. The sea, or water in general, represents life, the quality of bina, bestowal and love. We are born in water. Water is life's foundation, but there are good and bad waters. When the water is still within the ego's bounds, it is harmful, drowning those who are in it. The entire story about crossing the Red Sea describes the acquisition of a supernatural ability, the quality of caring about others with no self-interest, and the shift to a completely different system of existence in which benefiting others becomes more important than self-benefit. We cross a boundary, and where we previously lived only for ourselves through the ordinary ego, we shift into a life of love for, and bestowal unto, others. Crossing the Red Sea thus describes a complete inversion of our attitude to life, from egoism to altruism, corporeality to spirituality, division to connection, and reception to bestowal, and it is driven solely by the aspiration to become as loving and giving as the Creator, a force of pure bestowal with no shred of self-interest. Based on the program Spiritual States with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman and Michael Snilivik on Friday, April 1, 2021. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Michael Leitman, on Quora, where should Israel invest its gas royalties? In 2020, Israel received the equivalent of around $3 billion in gas royalties. Part of it was supposed to go to an Israeli citizens' fund for the benefit of Israeli citizens, but the fund is not yet operational. Indeed, what is the best investment for these royalties? It is unlikely that the Israeli citizens' fund will be created, as nobody is genuinely looking in such a direction. If, however, it would miraculously come to fruition, then education should be its number one priority. Even though a major portion of Israel's budget currently goes to education, it is not the kind of education that people need. The education people need should teach how to live harmoniously with one another through developing positive and warm connections, and implementing mutual responsibility. In its current definition, education is only about acquiring knowledge and skills. All problems in Israel are thus education-based. Education is a widespread problem concerning every person. The best investment of Israel's gas royalties would be in a wide-scale project that educates people, with the aid of the media, how to upgrade connections to become more positive and harmonious. An upgrade in people's connection means an upgrade in attitudes to one another, so that around the clock, we would be concerned with how to increase goodness, benevolence, happiness, confidence, support, encouragement, kindness, altruism and positivity in society. Such education is opposite to human nature, which is selfish at its core. In other words, the essence of education is to elevate us above our self-centeredness in order to develop positive connections. This is why it is necessary to educate everyone. In order to do so, education does not require any big budget. Instead, it requires clear and consistent explanations that without upgrading our connections to become more supportive and encouraging of one another, then a truly harmonious life will always elude us. By prioritizing, investing and engaging in this new kind of education, a new positive atmosphere would envelop society. We would feel a new goal open up before us, and a new kind of motivation, which would urge us to become more united. It is especially in a highly egoistic place like Israel that such a revolution in education needs to come about. Moreover, it is not only about improving Israeli society, but by improving the connections among the people of Israel, the foundation would become set for positive connections among humanity at large to unfold. As such, we would fulfill our destiny, love your neighbor as yourself, and pass on the method of connection to the world, to become a light unto the nations. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Work for all mankind. Comment: today many countries are faced with the question of what to do with the impending mass unemployment. After all, this is a huge layer of people who will need to be supported. My response: there is already work for them, to learn how to gather themselves into one single collective, how to be satisfied with exactly what is necessary for existence in corporeality and in spirituality, to unite with each other in love your neighbor as yourself, and in this movement friend to friend, to begin to comprehend the upper force. So, there is work for all to unite. It is better if it is broken down into a large number of individuals. I believe that people need to do just that. Therefore, the most important thing is social work, which should be carried out with everyone. Question: what benefit will the elite see from this work of the masses? Answer: the elite, of course, must also reorganize. There will be many more problems until they, delirious with the desire for profit, power, comfort, supporting each other, creating the so-called Hollywood, and so on, do not pass the realization of the evil of their nature, the worthlessness of their existence. I think that for this we need to show them that they are deceiving themselves. They not only distribute drugs to the masses, but, in principle, are themselves under the drug of wealth, power, and vanity fairs. We need to shake them up with the fact that their life is temporary, worthless. Well, they will live 10 to 20 years longer than the rest, and then what? Rot. Here they are offered something completely different, to exchange their false freedom, power, and vanity for eternity and perfection. From Cab TV's Challenges of the 21st Century, April 24, 2019. Four Stages of Correction. Zohar for All, Shemot, Item 81. He took that arrow that the bird had thrown from the left wing and smelled it. Then black fire came out of it, which is the color of the left, designated to Nukva, and is not included in the three colors of the rainbow, white, red, and green, which come from the three lines Huggat, and there is no black in them. He said that they revoked the government of the Egyptians, who extend the light of left from above downwards, and that a Roman king would traverse the whole of the land of Egypt and appoint ministers and warmongers in Egypt. Also, He will destroy buildings that were built and extended from the left side and build the ruins that were ruined because they were from the right, for which the Egyptians have no desire. Egypt is the main egoistic property. Israel, descending into Egypt, manifests itself there in order to plunge into this egoistic property with its altruistic property and as if dips itself into it to collect egoistic desires from there with the help of which one can ascend further. The fact is that humanity and man cannot rise and grow spiritually if they do not have inner egoism. You can grow by developing the ego, but only using it for bestowal and love. It is said, I have created the evil inclination. Because you cannot do without it. Therefore, all creation begins from the serpent, from the disclosure of egoism, otherwise, it is impossible. This is human nature, this is our essence. Then this egoistic principle called Egypt constantly manifests itself in a spiritually growing person. But it has nothing to do with Egypt as a modern state or the ancient kingdom. Egypt means egoism into the various properties of which a person plunges each time in order to rise. Suppose, being at a certain level, I fall into a certain type of egoism and rise. This is called that I was in Egyptian slavery and rose from it. Next time, I fall into a different type of egoism called Babylonian or Nebuchadnezzar. Having risen from it, I then as if fall into ancient Rome and rise again. And then I fall into the final exile. These are portions of egoism that are revealed in man, which I must use in order to rise above them. As a result, it turns out that the property Israel, straight to the Creator, in us, is constantly rising and growing thanks to the use of various types of egoism. This continues until each of us, uses all the egoism, all human striving for life in this world, in order to rise above it in unity, in love your neighbor as yourself, in an effort to comprehend the Creator, embrace Him, and merge with Him. This is possible only during four plunges into egoism and four ascents above it. Each person is obliged to go through this, get out of all these states, and eventually achieve complete correction of the soul. The exit from this world to the upper world is the goal of our creation. From Cab TV's The Power of the Book of Zohar number 8. How should we relate to problems? Question: when an artist paints a painting or when a scientist works on a problem, they don't relate to the problem or the task they are facing as something bad. Why do we relate to problems we encounter in a negative way? Answer: this only indicates how miserable a person is when he cannot ascend above himself and start to look at the world and at himself from the perspective of the Creator who leads him to eternity and perfection through all the states he undergoes. So, the most important thing is to break away from our present selves and adhere to the Creator, to be His partners in His actions, and then to enjoy everything that happens, just like the Creator. Then you will not feel even a moment of suffering because you will begin to feel that all these moments lead you to attainment, to true happiness. Question: do all unpleasant states of a certain attribute seem like parts of one problem? Answer: of course. And we must grow up in order to understand this. A small child, for example, feels only one state, like sweetness or warmth. But we understand that we also need other states in order to achieve the goal. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, January 20, 2019. Is it possible to reveal spirituality by yourself? Question: can a person reveal spirituality by himself through inner reflection? Answer: no. It is very difficult. It takes years and years of searching. I do not believe it is possible. In principle, there have been such cases in history, but I would not hope for that. Only the method prescribed by those who have attained the positive force of nature can help us, here. You need to follow it and reveal it in yourself. Question: a single person is not capable of doing this, but can a group of people connect to the upper nature? Answer: yes. They find this positive force in the search for harmony between them. from CAB TV's Challenges of the 21st Century, April 24, 2019. The needs of the generation. Question. On one hand, the younger generation has a goal because they are developing in a certain global direction. In a study when students were asked to report what the meaning of their chosen profession is, 99% said they wanted to help people. In doing so, they want to create a different world. They immerse themselves in virtual reality and say, "This world is not interesting to me, it is cruel and dirty, and here I have my own world, and I am not alone in it." How can they fulfill this goal if they have such an attitude? Answer: you will not do anything. Everything is specially arranged so that they become disillusioned with our world and understand that it really should be different. It should be based not on some material objects and earthly relationships, but on deeper, inner sensations and relationships. This is what the current generation needs. This generation is very special and somehow makes me admire them. They are ready to be taught the method of spiritual elevation, but the method may not yet be ready for them. It takes some time for them to adapt to the method and the method to adapt to them. Therefore, they need to talk about it, show it, suggest. I hope this connection will happen soon. From CAB TV's Integral World, July 13, 2018.